Proverbs chapter 12 and the verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favour of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoureth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his own word to our hearts for his own name's sake. The book of Proverbs is not the accumulation of the best of men's wit and knowledge, as if to give us from their intellect and observations of life good advice for life. No, the book of Proverbs is a mine of divine wisdom. Its value and worth is seen, for example, in chapter 25 and verse 11, where it's described as apples of gold and pictures or network or lattice of silver. It gives to us the key to practical godliness and prosperous Christ-like living. It deals with the practical day-by-day living and how the child of God ought to live in this ungodly world. It deals with how we are to conduct our business. A just weight is his delight, says the proverb. And honesty in business and to do our business in that way is what the Lord demands of his people. For to do your business in a crooked or dishonest way, the proverb reminds us, an abomination to the Lord. So it's practical. It deals with the issues of life. To bring up of children, it goes to the very heart of the matter. For it shows you the benefit for your child for life and for eternity. When a child learns discipline and learns authority from the Word of God. It deals with morality. And those who want to live in an immoral way and seek after women of a loose living, it's very implicit in what it says. For example, it says regarding the harlot, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That's strong enough, isn't it? Plain enough. And there are many unfortunate that way tonight in this land of ours, because we live in a day when immorality is something to be boasted of. And men are not ashamed any longer of their immorality. It seems to be a virtuous thing. Well, this is how God looks at it. And that's completely different to how the world looks at immorality today. Regarding drunkenness, it shows the foolishness and the danger of alcoholic drink. And it asks the question, who hath woe, who hath sorrow? They that tarry long with the wine. And you and I know some was reared up in drink and areas where drink was a common thing. All that goes along with the fighting and the dissatisfaction and the sickness and all the rest. And we know it's true. People don't listen to the word of God. They think it's some old book, it's archaic, it's out of fashion, out of date. It's right up to date for every aspect of our living. And Solomon even gives good advice regarding brawling women. Solomon hadn't much time for them. He was very tough on the women. Of course, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I wonder why they call him wisdom to Solomon. For one woman's enough for any man. And he says here, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And he says also in that same chapter, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. So he must have spent a lot of his time in the outdoor living. That's why he was so healthy. He was outside the doors, and he had much time with women. I'm sure the women sitting here tonight saying, well, the men are no choice many at times. It reminds me of the wee woman in Belfast, and this young fellow is down round doing door-to-door work, and he says to her, Mrs., do you believe in the devil? And do indeed, son, he's upstairs and I'm married to him. So both can make their arguments for good and bad, but Solomon tells us, warns us, the outdoor life is better than living with a brawling woman. Even how you treat your animals is mentioned in the book of Proverbs. For it says in verse 10 of that chapter I read to you, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. Mind you, there's some Christian farmers and they're rough on the cattle and the cows in the field and they're not too nice with them. Well, how you treat your beast is taken note of by the Lord as well. And there's a word, of course, for women who would be classed as godly or virtuous. The last chapter of the book of Proverbs, Matthew Henry says, it was a mirror for ladies. But I would suggest to you that this whole book would be a mirror for us all, because there's much in it that will benefit us to live godly in Christ Jesus and live right before the world with a testimony. I want to consider the verse 15 of that chapter I read to you, the 12th chapter of Proverbs, and it says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. I want to ask the question tonight, are you deceived or discerning? Because the answer is found in this verse that I read to you. I want to look first at the way of the deceiver, or the way of the deceived, better put that way. It's described in my text, the way of a fool. Here's a man, and the Lord uses very strong language about him. Now, why would God refer to a man as a fool? Well, the answer is because such a person refuses to listen to divine counsel. He refuses to listen to God and what he has revealed in his word. And the Lord likens him onto the brute beast of the field. He says from verse 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. So the Lord says the man that turns his back upon God, he's a fool. He's likened on to the animals in the field in their wisdom. And here is how God describes them in his word. As a matter of fact, if you study the word of God, the Bible likens men and women in their wickedness and their ignorance of God onto the brute beasts of the field. If you turn to Romans chapter 1, for example, you have there the Lord speaking of man and his rebellion and sin. He says this in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So man today has creation as a reason why he should believe in God. If he doesn't believe in God, then he's without excuse before the Lord in judgment. A very interesting thing. See the words that are used there in that verse, that are made. They're taken from a word in the Greek from which we get our English word poem from. And so creation is an eloquent poem of the handiwork of God in creation. The 19th Psalm says, the earth showeth forth his handiwork. And here's something you can understand. The 8th Psalm talks about the intricate work of God with the fingers of God. And it shows you how great God is in creation. And then you come to this verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So you see, it's not a progress step for a people or a nation to forget God. It's the opposite to that. For here you have people, and they start out with worshipping God, and they turn from God, and what do? They start worshipping creeping things. Things of little insects. That's how far men go away from God when they turn their back upon God. Is any wonder God calls them fools? Not only in their worship, but in their works, they're given over to the lowest of the animals. Verse 24 and 25 and 26, look what it says. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, the desire of their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the Creator more than the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them over unto vile affections, even the women that changed their natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving their natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves a recompense of the error which was meet. So practicing homosexuality, those addicted to it, are those given up by God. There was a march recently in Belfast, was it called the Gay Pride March or something? Well, nothing gay about it. They've even polluted the lovely English word gay, now you can't even use it, except to use in that respect. These are sodomites. What that was a cavalcade to hell. No Christian was among that crowd were marching there, because of the abomination in the sight of God. And this is the awful thing, when men turn their back upon God, and God gives them over to their sin, they start worshipping little animals, little insects, creeping things, and their life becomes one of uncleanness and one of sin. You can see this in their wickedness and ignorance if you turn to the 22nd Psalm, that messianic psalm, a psalm you think was written on the day of Christ's death on the cross. Speaking of Christ going to the cross to be the Savior of men, to be the substitute, dying in him instead. And what do you have? You have men likened unto animals. For example, verse 12, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan beset me round about. They get upon me with their mouths as a ravin and a roaring lamb. Speaks of those who are headstrong, proud, against God. God likens those that stood around the cross that day to the worst of types of animals in their ignorance and their wickedness and in their sin. Look at verse 16. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Look further down. Verse 20, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Now, the dog used here is not the little pets we have at home, ruined, spoiled, and all the rest. They are scavengers. And you will find a pack of dogs is the most vicious of the animals. You'll find even the lion and the cheetah and the tiger will kill their prey before they would eat them. But you'll find dogs will eat them while they're living. They're vicious. The most vicious pack of animals is a pack of dogs. I remember a friend of mine had a business down around County Down. Patchy country he lived in, so he bought an Alsatian for a bit of security. He had a lot of sheep, plus he had another business as well. And one day, one of the neighbours phoned up and said, you better come down, your Alsatian is devouring your sheep. And when down, the Alsatian had the intestines pulled out of the sheep. The sheep was still alive and eating away at it, because a pack of dogs would be the most vicious of any animals together in their cruelty. And the Lord likens those around the cross that day as the most cruel wicked, he calls them, who were crucifying him who went about doing good, the Saviour, the sinless Son of God. And in their ignorance and their wickedness, God describes them like unto the worst of animals in their sin. And men who turn their back upon God and turn away from God are foolish for not heeding God's word as to the ways of sin. Well, the proverb tells us fools mock at sin. They think it's some sort of sport, sin. They think it's a virtuous thing to live in sin. They think this is the end of living. So have no fear of God before them. They live and behave as if there was no God to face. And they give account of their lives the day of judgment. They deceive themselves from not heeding God's word. And by not listening or heeding what God has got to say. In this chapter again, the book of Proverbs, verse 5, it says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. They deceive themselves in their thinking and their ways. They deceive themselves with a wrong estimation of their own importance. They are more taken up with their own self-importance and they deceive themselves. Paul said to the Galatians that they that think themselves as something when they are nothing, they deceive themselves. And there are people today in this world walking about with that air of their own self-importance. They have no time for God or humbling themselves under the mighty hand of God and coming to Christ. And all they are doing by not listening to God's word, they're deceiving themselves. By thinking themselves as something they're nothing, they're deceiving themselves. So God likens them unto a fool. We turn to chapter 16 and verse 2. It says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Now, how can you tell how God weighs the spirit if you turn away from the word? You're left your own notions and your own ideas. And the word of God shows us that God is a righteous God. And men don't want to know about him, don't want anything to do with him. But they forget they've got to give an account of their life to God one day and the deeds done in the body. From the day they're born to the day they die. If they die unsaved, they'll give an account before the Lord. And men know that, and they go on in their sin. And that's why God says in this word, this text, the way of a fool is righteous in his own eyes. They won't listen to God. Listen to their own counsel. Their depraved heart. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. They'd rather walk in that light, in the light of God's precious word. That's why evolution is such a popular thing today. It's not a science. The very first principle of science they fail in. How can something come out of nothing without no one to produce something? If there's no God, how can something come out of it? This test they had recently in, was it Geneva, where they put the atoms around. And what a big blow that was. You never seen anybody so deflated in all your lives when nothing happened. They were hoping they could understand how God, how the world was made. Now they've got a leak in the pipes and they have to do the whole thing over. Billions spent when there's poor people who can't pay their debts in this land today. These politicians are not only gangsters. That they let people live and spend millions on that when God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Evolution is a religion. It's not a science. It's a religion of those who hope there's no God. But one day they'll find out there is one. And that's why they're fools in the way of life and their thinking. Secondly, not only is this the way of the deceived, it's a disastrous way. The whole inference from this text is that the way this road is going is not going to be what that person expected. You see, the proverb twice talks, for example, in chapter 14 and verse 12 and chapter 16 and verse 25, there's a way that which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Two is the number of testimony established in the scripture. And twice that text is quoted in this book of Proverbs to show the way of a man in his way of life without Christ. And wouldn't it be an awful thing for you to think that you were all right, for you thought you were a Christian, and then to find at the end of the journey in life that you were wrong, to realize that you never knew the Savior, that you never come to know him and trusted him. And on that great day of judgment, you'll hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. The Presbyterian Herald had some years ago a game in the center of its magazine. And this game was one of these games you throw the dice and you can move so many spaces, and you get to the end of heaven. But they started off this game to heaven with baptism. That's how you started for heaven, being baptized. My dear friend, you don't start for heaven by being baptized. Water cannot remove sin, be it original or actual. Only the blood of Christ can remove sin. Water can't do it. You don't start to heaven with baptism. You start to heaven by a new birth, by being born again of the Spirit of God. And what an awful thing it must be when people who thought they were right in life and trouble through life and thought and believed they'd be all right when they come to the end of life, they'd be in heaven, and heaven were their home. And then, because you got it wrong in life, in whom and what you believed, you ended up in death, an eternal death. It's been an awful thing. And there's so many who think they're all right today. And it's going to be the sad way for them. I remember some years ago when I was able to do it, a bit younger, up in the mountain shooting, looking for grouse. But I might as well be looking for the man on the moon. I couldn't see any of that craft away from me. But I was walking along the mountain, and all of a sudden this mist came down. A really heavy, like a wet rain. It was so heavy, you couldn't see hardly yourself in front of you a few yards, and the water all lay across your eyelids and beads of water. And I started to head back down the mountain. I thought the way I knew it, shot this mountain a few times. And I started to go, and then I realized the terrain I was walking over was strange to me. It wasn't familiar to me. I thought I was going the right way. So I sat down for a while, hoping the mist would lift. So after about half an hour or so, it lifted. And I looked around me, and I was going completely the wrong way that I thought. I couldn't see where I was, so I had to backtrack along the mountain to get the terrain I was used to, and looked down and saw the car at the bottom of the mountain. I was going the wrong way. I thought I was going the right way. Going the wrong. And so many like that will be in life when it comes to the end of life. It'll be disastrous for them because they're going the wrong way. And they're going to come to the Lord, and they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, open unto us. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not healed in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? And can do all that and still go to hell." Isn't that amazing? There are faith healers, and they'll be in hell. Those that cast out demons, and they'll be in hell. Those that preach, and they'll be in hell. The Lord will say, "I never knew you. Never knew you." It'll be an awful thing to come to the end of life and to realize it was the wrong way you were going. You started wrong. For you didn't listen to good counsel. You didn't listen to God's word. Didn't trust God's Son. And they end up in the lost eternity forever. Wouldn't that be an awful thing? Thinking you're right. Thinking, then find out you were all wrong. The deceived way. The disastrous way. Thirdly, there's a discernment of the wise. It says in the text, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Here's a people described here, and they're different from the others. Now, why? Because they're prepared to listen and obey a better and a higher authority than their own mind or notions or religion. What counsel is that Solomon then speaking of here? Is it not the counsel of God? The one who is called the counselor in Isaiah 9 and 6. The one whom God has spoken unto us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, the all-wise God. Hebrews chapter 1 says, "God hears so many times and in divers manners speak in time past unto the prophets." And how has he spoken unto them? By his Son. God's last word for this world is Jesus Christ. And God has nothing more to say to this world other than his own Son. When he said to the disciples in the Mount of Transfiguration, "Hear ye him." God has nothing more to say. When the rich man died and went to hell, he was still a sinner in hell. He was still a rebel in hell. He said to Abraham, "Let someone rise from the dead and go and tell my brethren." And answering him back, they had Moses and the prophets. In other words, God's word is the only word that men have today to listen to. And this is where good counsel is found. It's found in the Word of God, God's precious Word. Remember how James put it in James chapter 1 and in the verse 21. He says, "Wherefore, lay apart, put off all filthiness and superfluity." The word filthiness is filth of the flesh. Superfluity is speaking overflowing with malice. Put off malice. So it's got to do with the mind and the heart and the body, the whole man turning away from sin. Of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You see, if I look in the mirror, all I see is the outward front of myself. It doesn't go to the heart. False religion has got to do with the outward. A form, ritual, religion, of outward form and ceremony. But true religion is a heart religion. It's the heart right with God. And the Word of God shows that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and shows the heart must be made anew. A new heart will I give you, said the Lord to those who believe his word. And that's what James is speaking about here. If we only are formed or involved in outward forms of religion, it's no good. We're not in the right way. We're not listening to good counsel. The psalmist says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Jeremiah said, "It's not in a man that walketh to order his steps or direct his steps." In other words, man not left to himself. He must seek better counsel. The law of the Lord is perfect. So he must turn to God's word. You see, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. If a man left to his own counsel, his own devices, his own ways, he'll never find God. Men by searching won't find God. Three men are drawn by the grace of God to Christ on the authority of the Word of God. For to many the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. That's where divine counsel is found. It's found in God's Word. It's understanding the gospel. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus taught in Matthew 13, that portion which there are seven parables, and the parable of the sower and the seed? Remember how the Lord told how this same seed fell on four different grounds, but only one of those grounds brought forth life. He says in verse 23, "And he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. The understanding here is not some intellectual assent, but it's understanding your need. It's understanding that Christ alone can save. It's coming to him and trusting him on the authority of the Word of God and resting your all upon Christ. The same you find in the Old Testament. You'll find it in this book of Proverbs. Look at chapter 3, for example. And in the verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." So here's repentance of faith set before us in this chapter. And look at the benefits. Look at verse 13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." Wisdom in this book is speaking of Christ. He's the wise one. And those who are wise are those that follow Christ. And the man that gets understanding, here's the man who understands the gospel and receives the gospel that speaks of Christ. "For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." Here's the pearl of greatest price. It's the gospel. It's eternal life in Christ. It says, "Length of days are in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her." Here's a man that finds Christ. Here's a man that heeds good counsel. Here's a man that believes the word of God and understands the sinner, understands that Christ can save. And he heeds the word of God and he comes to Christ and trusts Christ as Savior and Lord. Listen again to the Proverbs. Chapter 13, verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. There again you have repentance and faith. There again you have the benefit of heeding the word of God and the consequences of not heeding the word of God. If you reject the word of God, if you reject God's counsel, then, my dear friend, the Lord refers to you as a fool. You see, when you heed the word of God, you find the sure way of life, a sure way that will bring you to heaven. If you reject it, it's a sure way of death, of eternal death. Here's the counsel God sets in contrast to the mind and the ways of the worldly man. It's what God says and what man thinks and what man says. The man who heeds what man says, what his heart says, his corrupt heart says, is a fool. The man who heeds what God says is wise and trusts the Savior and looks to him. See, the Bible points us only to Christ and points us to the claims of the gospel. It points us to the cross work of Christ, the Savior who left heaven's glory, the one who gave his life a ransom for the many, who went to the cross of Calvary, who must needs die. There's no other way that God was going to save sinners but by death. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It was absolutely necessary for Christ to die on the cross, shed his precious blood, obtain redemption for sinners. And the gospel goes out and invites sinners to come and say, all things are now ready. Partake of the feast of Christ is provided. And there's life and salvation for those who will come and trust him. And so the question comes to you. What way are you going to live? Is it the way of a fool? Or hearken to the counsel of the wise? Will you come to Christ when you reject him? Go on living without Christ? Or come to him and trust him and receive good counsel? And know the word of God, and know the Savior as your Savior and your Lord. This very book begins with this very warning to those who would heed it. Listen to what he says in verse 20 of chapter 1. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Here's the Lord preaching through his servants. Here's the prophetical ministry of Christ carried on by the preachers of the word. They cry out in the street for sinners to come. She cried in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I make known my words unto you. So here's the invitation given. Just like it is today, just like it was in the Old Testament, New Testament, this present day. It's a preaching of the gospel, preaching Christ. But then he turns. He says, because I have called and you refused, I have set out my hand, no man regard it. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. So the day in which Solomon preached, there were those who rejected it. The day the Savior preached, there were those who rejected it. And Christ didn't only preach to the elect, he preached to the non-elect. He says, I have called and you wouldn't come. You have piped and you haven't danced. There's no response. I'll also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. You see, you can turn your back upon God, and God can turn his back upon you. My spirit shall not always strive with man, the scripture says. And that can happen to men and women. I'm sure you've known them. I have known them. The time when God spoke to them, the realm was in the kingdom. They turned their back upon God and their Father away today and ever they were. They wouldn't listen to good counsel. He says in verse 30, he says, verse 29, they that hated knowledge did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, well, here's the consequences if you live and die like this. Therefore shall they eat the food of their own way and be filled with their own devices. The turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. There is the consequences set before you. It's either Christ, blessing, peace, heaven, or without Christ, judgment and wrath and hell forever. Plain as that in the Word of God. A fool, a deceived man, because he wouldn't hearken to the counsel of God and didn't want God's salvation. What about you in this meeting tonight? Are you on the right way? Have you listened to good counsel? Have you hearkened to the Word of God? And even tonight, are you saved? Or are you going to be a fool to reject the Savior, to live and die without Christ, and be in that awful condition of those who will say, the Lord will hear as he says unto you, I never knew you. What an awful thing it must be to stand before God and to hear those words, I never knew you. Make sure you know the Lord. Heed his word. Take God at his word. Come to Christ on the authority of his word. Rest your all upon the Savior by faith alone. Heed good counsel and you'll not be a fool among the wise ones who know Christ as Savior and Lord.